The union could get a second chance at Amazon. I'm David Brancaccio. First, here's what's going on with stocks. The CEO of Moderna, which makes and sells COVID vaccines, told the Financial Times we're likely to see a, quote, material drop in the effectiveness of current vaccines against the new coronavirus variant. The company is working on a newly formulated vaccine for next year. Scientists have only begun to study this, but in early trading, the Dow is down 361 points, 1%. The S&P is down 0.7%. The NASDAQ is down 0.2%. During uncertain times, people often buy government bonds, which pushes yields down. The 10-year is down at 1.44% now. Amazon workers in Bessemer, Alabama may vote again on whether to join a union. The workers voted earlier this year, and no union won by a wide margin then. But now the National Labor Relations Board is calling for a do-over. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here with details.
David, the National Labor Relations Board, the NLRB, upheld a challenge from the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. The union argued that Amazon undermined the conditions for a fair election. The NLRB agreed.
Undermined in what way?
Much of the union complaint centers around a collection box that Amazon set up in the employee parking lot. Amazon encouraged workers to use that box for their union ballots, but Amazon covered the box with a tent and put up a banner that said, "Speak for yourself." That was Amazon's anti-union slogan. The box was also in the line of sight of Amazon security cameras. The NLRB said all this made it look like Amazon controlled the election and was monitoring who voted. Amazon also held mandatory meetings on the union vote and encouraged workers to pick up vote no pins, and managers watched who took the pins.
And Amazon today?
Amazon sent me a statement saying its employees had a choice and voted not to join the union. The company also said the NLRB has, quote, now decided those votes shouldn't count.
The union is pleased, though.
Yep, it issued a statement saying the NLRB decision to hold the second election confirms its accusations that Amazon prevented workers from having a fair say in whether they wanted a union.
All right, Nancy, thank you. And there's gold in them thar goofy images. Antitrust regulators in Britain today ordered Facebook to stop trying to acquire Giphy, saying that the deal hurts social media users and advertisers by stifling competition for little animated images. You know, those GIFs or GIF snippets, for example, Kermit?
I think my stock just dropped.
Would you have predicted their popularity? Facebook may appeal and had been planning to weave Giphy into Instagram as a vehicle for self-expression, the company says, and I'm aware the Facebook company is now called Meta, but it'll take a while before I can accept that. Now to how we think about and pay for cognitive decline in America. More than 6 million people in the U.S. currently live with Alzheimer's disease, which could rise to 8.5 million by 2030, according to a study, with the average age rising. Joining us is Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Chris, there are many costs, emotional costs to those with dementia, loved ones caring for them, hard to quantify, but what does the report say about the economic costs?
So there are two main cost drivers. First are medical and long-term care costs. And then second is the value of unpaid caregiving provided by family and other loved ones. So they have this figure that the economic cost of dementia is an estimated $300+ billion in 2020. But here's the thing, David, the report makes really clear that that figure, it's low. For example, when you add the impact on the wages and future employability of family caregivers, your cost calculation jumps by as much as 20%. And then then you start adding in things like the physical and mental strain that comes from unpaired caregiving, the cost to employers from productivity losses because employees are, you know, taking care of their loved ones. And then your documentary, Brains and Losses. I mean, it focused on how cognitive impairment may lead to bad financial decisions and exploitation. So no matter how you cut it, it's expensive.
And all of these costs are projected to rise as the population gets older. Yet, you know, title of the report, Reducing the Impact of Dementia in America. What are some ideas?
So this is a report that's geared toward advocating a research agenda for the coming decade. So it emphasizes the positive role that can be played by focusing on better health, think exercise, healthy diet, critical, actually paramount is addressing and eliminating the deep health disparities, the deep health inequities in the U.S., and of course, technological innovation in everything from pharmaceuticals to residential care design is called for.
All right. The task is before us, but it's not only a medical and technological innovation challenge, is it?
No. I mean, look, here's the real question. How will we treat people with dementia so that they can age with grace? And how will we support physically, emotionally, financially, their families and their caregivers? Now, there isn't any nation that has a solution, but the U.S. is unique among the major economies for putting so much of the burden on families and loved ones. And what this report says to me, David, is that the status quo, it's unacceptable and it's unsustainable. And dementia needs to be a key part of our debates about the future of healthcare in the U.S.
Chris Farrell, Marketplace's senior economics contributor, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And if it's your impression home prices are up sharply in major metro areas, your intuition aligns with the data. There's news from S&P Case-Shiller just now that home prices went up more than 19% in the year that ended in September. Phoenix up 33%. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.